You're listening to KOWSLP Occidental 92.5. We've been serving Santa Rosa and West Sonoma County for 18 years, streaming to the world at kosfm.com from our studios in Santa Rosa. You can visit our website to listen, donate, or volunteer. You can download the new Radio Rethink streaming app from the App Store. There's a bunch of different streaming apps you can find us. My name is Colin Mutchler, and this is going to be a new show that is called Remembering Ourselves. I'll get into it in a little bit. But before I did that, I wanted to make sure that we tell you about a few things. So here's a public service announcement that I'm going to read for you from Forgotten Felines. Forgotten Felines of Sonoma County is a nonprofit organization dedicated to protecting and improving the lives of feral cats through local spay-neuter programs, placement services, community outreach, and nationwide education. Established in Sonoma County in 1990, Forgotten Felines neuter and spray programs are funded by its thrift store, pick of the litter, community grants, and from private donations from community members like you. Please visit their website and find out how to volunteer or donate. That is Forgotten Felines, Forgotten Felines, ForgottenFelines.com. They also can be reached by phone at 707-576-7999. And then I'd also wanted to share about our underwriters. There's first one I'd like to thank is SolarWorks. We thank SolarWorks for supporting KOWS Radio from the beginning. SolarWorks has encouraged COW's listeners to support local businesses, producers, and providers. Remember, a healthy community depends on a strong local economy. SolarWorks, giving people the power to make a difference since 1986. Solar electricity is even more affordable with the federal tax credit. For more info, visit solarworksca.com or call 829-8282. One more underwriter we'd like to thank is glass artist Valerie Adams for her support. Valerie offers unique, functional, fused glass art, gift items, interior design accessories, and custom artwork at Modern Fused Glass. Visit her online at ValerieAdamsGlass.com. That's Valerie, V-A-L-E-R-I-E, AdamsGlass.com, or follow her on her Facebook page at Modern Fused Glass. She can be reached by phone at 707-539-4400. And then lastly, KOWS welcomes Corix, the oldest stationery store in Sonoma County. We thank them for their support. Located at 637 4th Street in Santa Rosa, they host a year-round art gallery of art trails artists and hold an art opening on the first of each month. Their Winter Wonderland Christmas shop features handmade items from Germany and around the world. Find out more about this Sonoma County institution by visiting their store or their website, which is Corix, Corix.com, and they can be reached at 707-546-2424. Again, we appreciate all of our underwriters here at KWS Occidental 92.5. I will come back with more about my show in a second. I just want to start us off with some beautiful sounds from my early days, George Winston. Thank you. George Winston from his famous album Autumn. This is the fall here in Sonoma County. My name is Colin Mutchler. I'm your host of Remembering Ourselves, a show that explores the music and culture of our past in order to ground us as we move into deeper relationship with each other and the natural world. This is my first show, and I wanted to start by really introducing myself and the personal context I'm in as we begin to our relationship. I don't know really who's out there, who's listening right now live at KWS FM 92.5 in Occidental, but I'm here in the studio in Santa Rosa, and I live now in Monterio, and my family and I moved to Monterio full-time in 2020 from Oakland, from the East Bay. We had moved to Northern California in 2010, 5 years in the city and 5 years in the East Bay, and at some point fell in love with Sonoma County, the Russian River in particular. Myself and a group of friends was part of the group that owned the Rio Theater from about 2014 into the pandemic. And I have just loved the broader land and waters of this area since I first got to know them. But my early childhood, I mostly grew up in the suburbs of New Jersey. I was born in Bellingham, Washington, but moved to New Jersey when I was 7 years old. And my father was from New Jersey, and my mother was from Los Angeles. So most of my upbringing was in the Northeast, but I feel like I've got a West Coast soul. And as an adult, most of my life, I lived in cities. In Brooklyn and New York City was the first city I lived in as an adult after college. And then I went to graduate school internationally and lived in London for a few years before moving to California. And so I was energized by cities. I also was a big believer in the internet. When it first came out, I graduated college in 1999, and I felt like our best chance to change society for good was through the internet. And I worked for years to help use the internet to democratize culture and power and to amplify underrepresented voices. I created a company called Louder, which gave people the opportunity to crowdfund promotion for important voices and ideas to reach new audiences through the channel of advertising, which usually we think of as something that's only available to commercial interests. I was trying to democratize that channel. But in many ways, looking back on that time from here, from 2024, with the context of our time over these last few years, I think the truth is that we largely failed, those of us that really worked for a technology and an internet that would really help society and to, improve culture. I do think that new voices have been heard. I think that has happened, but we're also spending more time isolated and disconnected from each other. We have a culture of distraction and disconnection and loneliness. And I think that in that context, during the pandemic, my family moved up to Villa Grande, near Montereo, a few miles from where the river meets the coast. And
this is Colin coming to you live from the real studio. What you were just listening to was actually me 2 weeks ago when I did the first of the shows without a guest. There was a little bit of a snafu on my end, but we are now here. I'm here with my good friend Mahia Campbell that I'll introduce in a second. But what you were hearing was a little bit of personal context, so I'm glad you got to hear that. But welcome today, for those of you who are listening, to Remembering Ourselves, a show that explores the music and practices of our past as a way to ground ourselves as we move forward out of this time of disconnection and hopefully towards deeper relationships with ourselves and the natural world. But the way this show is going to work is that we're going to have a guest on. We'll start local here in West County. And I'll ask each guest to bring with them six pieces of music, a few tracks from their early life, the songs that they heard in their house or in their car when they didn't really have a choice in music, some music from their coming of age when they first started to really fall in love with music, and then some songs that represent this time since the pandemic, kind of now-ish. And this week, I think it's really great that my first guest is Mahia Campbell. She is the founder and curator of Neon Raspberry Art House in Occidental. She is one of my deepest connections to this area. Me and my partner Christy. Originally, I think the connection was through Sam Clegg and Tessa, and who knew you through Mariam. And Mahia joined us in the adventure that was the Rio Theater. We were part of the group that owned the Rio Theater from 2014 until about 2021. Mahia, welcome to the show.
Why, thank you. It's great to be here.
Yeah, great to have you here. I wondered what it was like to get that prompt, to kind of look back and to choose this music that you chose, and maybe just share a little bit about like your early life, and you can either speak to those specific songs or to those or to the music that you heard as a child.
Yeah, it wasn't hard because I came up with tracks immediately, but it definitely is an interesting process to just try to think of two for each era that you're talking about, because I had a conversation with an old friend this morning and told her this was happening. And when I sent her the question, she immediately had the like go-to of her perspective of what I would say to one of the choices.
Oh, like she knew what your songs were.
She did, but they weren't the things I chose.
Interesting.
And she's like, and I said, you're right, but there's just so much, which totally. I think speaks to music having been really important in my life for a very long time and very emotional in my life for a long time. I associate a lot of my emotional life with music. I associate my connections with other people with music in a very visceral way. I was thinking in the car also this morning that doesn't come up in it, but is related, is that as a person and the people that I, you know, the adults that I grew up with attest to this, I sang from the time that I could speak.
Right. You've always sang.
I was a kid who sang all over the place. And so in different ways, it's the way that I communicate. It's definitely the way I communicate to myself, and in different moments, it's how I communicate to the world. And that's always like an ongoing process, as we've talked about.
What I wanted to mention, you actually grew up not too far from here. You grew up in the North Bay, right?
Yeah, I grew up in Marin and went to high school in San Francisco. And I was born in West Marin. So kind of that whole...
The broader bay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, do you want to say anything more about the specific songs that you ended up choosing, or the artists that you chose, or and why you chose them?
With the early... well, the first thing I was thinking about was, because my house was full of music, and my parents, I think in some ways, it felt like they agreed, and the people they were... I mean, they all kind of... They seemed to like the same music. And... The reason that I thought of the Springsteen track that we're going to play is because I think my first audio visual memory is to that album. So it's very possible.
This is Bruce Springsteen, Born to Run.
It's Born to Run. And it's specifically, what was funny was that I sent a track to Colin, and I was thinking about, like, it is the one that I remember from the car, but I was also thinking that it was good because it's not as long as the really long track on the album. And then I realized it's incredibly long, which I don't think about because I think about them emotionally. I don't think about them literally. So, I have a very clear memory of being in a car going swimming, definitely under four with that in the background. And there's other stuff that's kind of Stones, Kinks, Beatles related that is all kind of pre a visual, but I have a very clear like embodied memory of hearing
that's really cool. Yeah, I'm like, that's really cool. I agree with you. Like, there's certain moments where you remember the music playing a role in the memory of being there. And I have a few in mind, but they're much later. I don't have a strong memory of those early days. Mm-hmm. That's really cool that you have that.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. All right. Well, let's play that song.
Okay.
It's a longer one, so we might not play all of it, but this is Backstreets from Bruce Springsteen's album Born to Run.
Yep.
Thank you. salt fist at some of me and Jerry became friends, trying in vain to breathe the fire we was born in. Catching rides to the outskirts, time fade between our teeth, sleeping in that old abandoned beach house, getting wasted.
Hush me bugle, hush and listen, and his cheeks were all aglow. I bear orders from the captain, get you ready quick and soon, for the pikes must be together by the rising of the moon.
By the rising of the moon, by the rising of the moon, for the pikes must be together by the rising of the moon.
Oh, then tell me, Sean O'Farrell, where the gathering is to be. In the old spot by the river, right well known to you and me. One word more for signal token, whistle up the marching tune, with your pike upon your shoulder by the rising of the moon.
By the rising of the moon, by the rising of the moon, with your pike upon your shoulder by the rising of the moon.
Out of many a mud wall cavern, eyes were watching through the night. Many a manly heart was throbbing for the coming morning light. Murmurs ran along the valleys like the banshee's lonely croon,
and 1,000 pikes were flashing by the rising of the moon, by the rising of the moon, by the rising of the moon. And 1,000 pikes were flashing by the rising of the moon. There beside the singing river that dark mass of men was seen. Far above their shining weapons hung their own beloved green. Dead to every foe and traitor, forward strike the marching tune. And our army buys for freedom, 'tis the rising of the moon.
That's Rising of the Moon, the Clancy Brothers and Tommy Mackem. That sounds like it's from a long, long time ago.
Well, I mean, it depends, like, how long, long, long time ago something is. It's not that old.
Yeah, yeah. I just mean the spirit of the song. It sounds like
yes.
one of those songs
yes,
that's
yes,
been
yes.
sung for...
It is a classic folk song.
Tell
yes.
me about it.
Well, I'm not sure actually how much I can tell you about it that would be...
Why did you choose it?
Historically,
where does it come from?
It comes from my father, and it comes, I'm pretty sure, so the Clancy Brothers and the Dubliners, like the Clancy Brothers, the album that I remember as a child is all of them wearing these, it actually looks like Harris wool, which would be weird, so it must have been Irish, but at any rate, they were all wearing like white cable knit sweaters, turtlenecks, maybe turtlenecks, or just their sweaters. At any rate, all four of them were wearing them, and it was very like these... are Irish guys from the 60s singing folk songs. So my experience was my dad's music was less folk music for the most part and more rock and roll, but the folk music that he listened to was both a lot of Irish and Scottish folk music and then Hawaiian folk music. And the moment that I was born was a time of a renaissance in Hawaiian folk music and bringing the music back after many years of struggles against assimilation and struggles against, I mean, many years of struggles against colonialism. So the 70s was a moment where a huge amount of art, culture, music was coming out.
Interesting.
And, but the first thing that came to my mind yesterday when I was looking at it, at the questions, was the Irish stuff, because my dad played it so much and it made him cry. And it somehow then taught me. It was one of the first places where I understood that listening to something could have that kind of emotional response and bring me to that place again. So it's something that I listen to when I want to remember him. And it's something that I listen to feel a particular way. And a lot of that has to do with like my dad's just adventures and thinking about I was thinking about when you gave me the questions, I was thinking about music and identity and the way that he identified. And, you know, he identified as a journalist and a revolutionary during that period of time, but he was also adopted. And so trying to figure out kind of where he came from when he didn't actually want to look at his biological family, that wasn't something he was interested in his lifetime. And so his Irish and Scottish adopted ancestry became profoundly important to him and a big part of his identity. And so he spent a bunch of time in those places. And I think in the 70s, when I was born and he was in his 30s, it was something that he was focused on. So I put it there because it was, again, one of those things that was probably in the house before I could pay attention to knowing it was there.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
And that's so interesting that he explored the kind of ancestral, you know, cultural background of his adopted family.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, that resonates with me a little bit in the sense that when I was younger, I remember almost like not thinking I had an ancestry or not thinking that it was boring or something. I was like, I'm not German and Irish. Like, I'm great grandparents are basically the immigrants mostly in my family. So I was like, I rejected it as a young person. I was like, I don't know. I'm just like American. Like my parents were hippies, blah, blah. And it wasn't until later that I was, you know, willing to take a deeper look after being, you know, invited by those that were like, you seem a lot more interested in like non-European cultures than European cultures. What's up with that? And I was like, that is something weird. You're right. Mm-hmm. So I started taking a deeper look, and it's true that
it might be about whiteness.
Could be, potentially. might be avoiding that topic. So it was. So it's like I ended up being more interested only recently in like and acknowledging that actually my family is Irish and German in these ways that I've started to learn. It's like I've kind of learned more, but that's but also in the context of all of us settlers who are here, you know, living on land that's not our ancestry. And you know, I think a lot of what white people especially, we like struggle to find ways to appropriately, you know, engage in a relationship with the ancestry of the place that we are and our own ancestry. And it's a complicated beast. So it's just interesting to hear your dad's journey that and thank you for sharing both those tracks. So those are both like music that represents the early days and also your relationship and how music music for your own relationship to your own emotions and for tapping into emotion.
Yeah. And I should also say history and nostalgia clear and not us in more history than nostalgia, but both things and sentiment and emotional attachment and is a huge piece, I think, for me. And what, so, because it took a really long time past high school to a certain degree for me to have any interest in contemporary anything. So even the things, like, as I got older, when I discovered my own music, it was more finding the stuff my parents hadn't listened to.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, let's zoom forward. I don't know how far to zoom forward. When Mahia looked at her kind of coming of age period, just it'd be, like she said earlier, I feel the same way. It's a hard thing to choose a few songs that represent so much of a relationship. But she ended up sending me both music from like the high school coming of age moment and the college. So I love you. Just to point a picture, like, you know, what era are we talking about, and where are you? Are you? You're in Marin, I assume, for the high school era, and then were you in a different location for the college era?
Yeah, I was. Well, and I was in San Francisco for high school, but I was still living in Marin. And then I went to Smith College in Western Massachusetts.
So it was like mid to late 90s. Yeah. So I don't know. So like, I'll just share maybe the snapshot of what you share with me, and maybe we can choose which songs we can play.
Because
I think it was an interesting mix. The college age, which I think was that was the one that you were like, this is my actual coming of age. I'm curious to know the difference there between that and like what you kind of got into in high school, because it's some indie rock and Erykah Badu, some of the earlier wave that's more high school, Sly and the Family Stone, Fleetwood Mac, you know, some older school stuff. Yeah, pick one of those that you'd like to introduce of all those that you want to kick off with.
Well, I guess I would say the Fleetwood Mac.
Mm-hmm.
Because I associate it deeply with my contemporaries introducing me to it. Even it was not something.
Oh, it was your peers who told you about
it. Yeah, there's a whole thing in my family of origin about what rock and roll they listened to and what they didn't. And my mom's very pro guitar, and there's this sense that kind of basically like the pop Fleetwood Mac that happened once Lindsey Buckingham and Stevie joined is actually when Fleetwood Mac went downhill.
Interesting.
From some people's perspective. So that's what I grew up with. I mean, I don't even know if I even knew who Fleetwood Mac was before then, but then when I asked, that's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the reason I picked it was because it completely evokes a time for me. It evokes a time, and it invokes a really happy time in high school, and also a connection to my peers and getting along with my peers. I always got along with my peers, but I, for the most part, spent a lot of time with adults in my childhood, and so it denotes a point in time when I came of age where I was wanting to belong, of course, but this is a place where we came together, I guess.
That's beautiful.
That makes sense. Yeah.
All right. So live from sometime in the late 90s, we give you Secondhand News, Fleetwood Mac.
I'm
Modern Girl from Sleater-Kinney. And this is from the time when Mejia was, I believe, in college.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you when it came out. But it feels reflective of the kind of music that I was listening to and loving. And what I was thinking about yesterday was that's the moment where, I don't know if this was conscious, or, I mean, it was conscious because it was like the personal is political, but that I was excited to choose and be listening to artists because I liked like alternative rock and whatever and folk music or alt rock, but it was because of their identity and their queer identity. It was the first time where it was like, oh, we're listening to this music because I'm coming out and everyone around me is, and we're excited about people who are like us that are making music and reflecting that experience. And I don't think I'd ever attached to music like that before, because I think in some ways, like a lot of the rest of what I was excited about in high school was about music I had never heard, music from cultures that I had never experienced, like all sorts of more music that was outside of my experience. And then it was a change to, oh, we're going because it's part of a social network, it's part of a political network, it's part of a, this is who I am and this is what I, that like my music, my the music I am listening to reflects who I am in this very direct way. And that it had, it was probably the most, I tend towards loving storytelling and melody and folk and jazz and soul. And I don't tend towards, like when I was a teenager, I didn't tend towards anything that was depressed or angry. And I remember even used to say, I didn't understand at all people listening to stuff that made them cry when they went through heartbreak, because that sounded like annihilation to me. Like that just sounded so hard. I was like, I don't want to listen to my hard stuff when I'm hurting. I actually almost need silence because music affects me so deeply. And which part, you know, part of it was avoidance of emotions, but at the same time it, I think, it's probably the time that I listen to the most, like, yelling.
Right. I can relate to that. It's so interesting how, like, different moods of music relate to different emotions, and sometimes you want to be with that, and sometimes you don't. Like, our friend Samantha, I remember in the old days, we used to listen to a lot of, like, moody, quiet, reflective music, and she, like, I remember at some point called it, like, actually, maybe I shouldn't say it, but it was sort of like a word that implied, like, you know, deep depression. Like, why would you choose to be in deep depression? Like, it's interesting that you're choosing that. But I think sometimes that's what music helps you to feel completely, those emotions.
Completely.
And I think
so
the rebelliousness of, like, the louder, angrier, you know, rage stuff. I think also, you know, you bring up identity. I think that's such an important piece of the puzzle. Like, when you think about the trajectory of rock and roll or hip hop, it started in a rebellious state, you know, like the music kind of came from that place of, you know, that was, you know, sourced in, I think Black American culture. And then also teenagers, young people who just like also want to rebel. And I think, in that moment with Sleater-Kinney and others, like, you know, I think queer women and queer people in general also felt it. And I think we, you know, everybody continues to feel some version of that at different times. So where you were, that was college-ish, and then where did you end up after college? Did you stay where you went to college, or did you travel somewhere else? Or
I went to New York for
two and a half years.
It's always, I mean, at this point it feels much longer than what actually was, because it happened at that point in time in our lives, but I was in New York from 99 to 2002, and then I went to the Bay and was in San Francisco and worked in Oakland for, I think, 10 years, and then moved out to West Marin near Bolinas and took some basically sabbatical time. So I spent 15 years or so doing social justice work, mainly in progressive philanthropy and in alliance building. a lot around youth organizing and particularly around economic and racial justice, and took some time to reflect with my partner at the time and just think about where life was going to go from there, and still wanted to do work within the movement, but was thinking about different roles that we could play, and it both in our personal lives and then within movements for change. And so that went on for a couple years and moved to West Sonoma. And then I missed doing the work that I had been doing, but I didn't want to do as heady work as I had been doing for a long time. Mm-hmm. And so I realized that I kind of looked at my life and that I had always like been attracted to and surrounded by artists and had spent a lot of time with artists, and felt like doing cultural work and creating a community and a space to show change via art was the thing that I could do forever. Like, it wasn't something that I was going to burn out on, and was always going to create space for more people to show their work. So that's why Neon Raspberry started, and that's what I've been doing in West County for a very long time at this point, longer than I've been anywhere else.
And we appreciate you. Yeah, for those that haven't been, please do go. It's a wonderful art house and space in Occidental, Neon Raspberry. I've seen everything from good art shows to, they've got the most awesome collection of things and items, and you know, art and books and products at the intersection of like land and, you know, feminism and queerness, and it's just like a beautifully selected group of things. And then also, I've been at dance parties, you know, like there
is
sometimes at certain days of the year, like that's the spot to be in all of West County. Just to center ourselves for those that are just tuning in, we are listening to Remembering Ourselves, a look back at the music and practices of our past, in order to deepen our connection to ourselves and to the land. I'm here with Mahea Campbell, my first guest. She is the founder and curator at the Neon Raspberry Art House, and we are entering the last chapter of the music that Mahea has brought to us. I asked for the third prompt. I asked her to choose some music that represents now-ish, which I kind of define as the pandemic and post-pandemic. That's kind of the what feels like right now. And so, yeah, how's it going now in terms of your relationship to music? Anything you want to share that's shifted, or you know, or just you know, how is now for you in relationship to your relationship to music and art?
Having the store actually has really allowed me to have an opportunity to think about expanding and time in my adult life to expand my musical horizons, because you want to think about the kind of music you want in the store, and that I don't want to be repetitive. And I sometimes, when you're sitting in a space all day, and it's a meditative experience to sit in a gallery space, and sometimes you see lots of people and sometimes you see nobody, it's allowed me to have free time to think, what should we be playing in here? And what's a road I haven't gone down before. And just also thinking about crowds of like, you know, it'd be good for me to actually listen. I don't not listen to contemporary music, but to actually kind of have more of a, it's always been through relationships. I think I find things through relationships no matter what, like, and for if it's someone I'm in close relationship to, or it's just somebody who comes in and says something, it's always through a person. Mm-hmm. So I mean, what I really, during COVID, what I wanted to listen to was like really early U2 and like really political hip hop. And I want, like, I just wanted the most visceral, like, clear communicative, this is what is happening, as some way to ground. Like, I went kind of back and forth between that and like Bach. Like, I couldn't quite handle it being, you know, peaceful music or meditative music. I needed a lot of expression. But then, you know, I mean, the first song is Alison Russell, who I put on because the album that she came out with came out during that period of time, and I listened to it a great deal, and I listened to it a great deal at the shop. And I think both the combination of it being folk music that's incredible and incredible musicianship, it also tells a story. And also, you know, I think over time, I really appreciate people putting their life and their challenges, and in some cases their trauma, into their work, and the hope that comes out of that. So there's something, and I mean, that even feels like now, in terms of what we're dealing with post-election, this desire to connect, but also to have direct truthfulness about mm-hmm. who we are, what we have experienced, and how do we get through it, and how do we find hope even in the darkest of places. So I think in thinking about that, that's why I thought about this song.
Beautiful. Well, here it is. Alison Russell, Persephone.
sunshine and paint it all over my sky, yeah. Be no rain. About being free, yeah. Be no rain. Be no rain. And I think I'll call it morning from now on. Tell myself I've got to be alone. Why should I subscribe to this world's madness, knowing that I've got to live on, knowing that I've got to live on, knowing that I've got to live on. Yeah, I think I'll call. A piece of sunshine and paint it all over my sky, yeah. Be no rain.
I think I'll call it morning, Gil Scott-Heron. We are here. This is Remembering Ourselves. I'm your host, Colin Mutchler, and I'm here with Mahia Campbell. Appreciate you being here for this really first of our shows.